Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Don Jackson-Blattner joins us now, the author, the registered dietitian and nutritionist. DonJacksonBlattner.com is her website. Are you a baseball fan? Are you a fan of any of the teams in town, Don?
Hey, how are you? I have a preference because for 10 years I was the dietitian for the Cubs. Oh, so, you know, I'm a Cubs girl.
Sure.
And, I happen to flaunt around the World Series ring that I earned through that time as well once in a while. So, you know, I'm a little bit Cubs through and through. But, hey, you know, I want to root always for Chicago. So even though I'm, you know, Cubs, I always want, Chicago.
Did you have the ring on when you came into our studio late last year? Have you been in there since then? But I mean,
I probably did to try and impress you. I probably did wear it.
I did not. Usually when somebody's wearing their series ring, and remember they gave them to a lot of people in the organization that year. Even the ushers got mock-ups of them. They are happy to tell you, oh, did you see my ring? You did not do that, Dawn.
I didn't brag. It's called humble bragging, where I'm just, you know, wearing it my finger. I can barely have my hand held up because it's so heavy. I probably was humble bragging, yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about food labeling. I saw a story this week and actually talked a little bit about it, where the Food and Drug Administration is considering putting warning labels on common food items like animal crackers and Doritos, and they have a couple of different ways they would do it. Maybe they would give you red, yellow, or green, depending on how good or bad the food is for you. Green would be good, red would be caution. What do you know about food labeling, and what do you think about food labeling?
Well, here's what the deal is FDA is smart to be saying, listen, people are having trouble. I mean, people don't know which foods are healthiest to buy or unhealthy to buy. Is there anything that we can do to help? And so this is sort of their version of trying to mock up these different labels. And they're really focusing on three areas. So this isn't like they're going to be labeling every single thing. This is three areas on the front of the package. So when you breeze through the line of, you know, all the different aisles, that you could better, quicker make decisions. So they would look at saturated fat, sodium, and added sugar. Those are the three focus areas that we would want less of in our diets. And so the mock-ups, as you mentioned, there's a couple floating around. Nothing is, you know, set in stone yet. There's definitely pros and cons to all of this and arguments. But the couple of the mock-ups, one would just be sort of black and white and saying, like, hey, this is high in saturated fat. Some of them, as you mentioned, would be a red, green, yellow approach. And people are now doing focus groups and saying, oh my gosh, you know what? You have three different colors on the front of this package. You know, the added sugar is green and the sodium is red and the saturated fat is yellow. I don't know what to do, because if I pulled up to a stoplight and I saw red, green, and yellow, I wouldn't know what I was supposed to do. So why do you think if I look at all these colors on a package, I'd know what to do? So there's a lot of confusion, and you have to be clear that when you put this on the label, is it actually helping people? So that's what's the process right now. But I think the coolest part of what I have read about these potential changes is all of it is possible for us right now to use the labels exactly how they're going to use them, and we can do it for ourselves. Because on the back, there is listed saturated fat, sodium, and added sugar. And if you see something that says 20% of any of those three things, that is high. That would be red. That would be, hey, watch out. This is high in one of the things you don't want. If you saw it say 5% or less, then you would be green light. That, you know, that's great. That's very low in saturated fat. That's low in sodium. That's low in added sugar. So we don't have to wait around and see what the FDA does to help us read labels on the front of the package. We could just pull the package out and look and use this 5-20 rule. 20% means high, 5% means low, and in the middle is, you know, middle, yellow. And you can do your own sort of decision-making on this. Now, people who are for it say, hey, listen, you know, we could all use some help. It's confusing out there. But people who are against it are saying, hey, listen, you know what? One nutrient isn't going to make or break the whole thing. So, okay, sure, it's red in saturated fat, but maybe it's great in fiber, and maybe it has a lot of protein, and maybe this fits in the context of a healthy diet just fine. So there's, you know, some arguments pro and con. I'll be interested to see how it shakes out. But again, none of us have to wait around for this. We can use this whole system that they're going to put on the front of the package right now because it's already on the package.
I could see how the manufacturers might not like that, either because it's confusing or because if it's red and yellow, people won't want to buy your product as much, even though that information's on the back. But if they had a stamp on the front saying red, yellow, I think that would not be advantageous to the people that make those foods. But while I can get over that because I ain't making the foods, it might encourage them to make them less sodium rich or fat rich. That would be better. So I don't mind the government sort of pushing them a little bit in that direction. I know that's Big Brother, but without Big Brother, kids would still be working in coal mines. So let's let the government sometimes do us a favor. They're not saying you can't make the stuff. They're just saying you need to be more transparent. And one last thing about all that, Dawn. What would be interesting to me is not that ice cream and Doritos would have red flags, duh, but that Cheerios would have some yellow flags. And that, to me, would be good to know because some of those brands sell themselves as being good for you, and they're okay for you, but are they really good for you? If a label told me about that easily, I think that would be nice to know.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And as you can imagine, the fight back from, the food industry not wanting to put this stuff out is huge. And they're using something called the freedom of commercial speech and saying, you know, hey, we don't want anybody governing what we can put on our package. But you're absolutely right. Having people have that on their label when they're manufacturing foods absolutely would gear them to say, well, oh, maybe there is a way we could have less added sugar. Maybe there is a way we could use less sodium. So, yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And, the big thing is you just got to remember right now, especially the front of the package is not where you should be looking. So if something seems healthy, if it has healthy words on it, none of it matters. You really need to go to the back and check the ingredients and check those numbers.
I want you to change how you say that. Don't agree with me wholeheartedly. I want you to agree with me whole-grainedly.
Oh, God, you get A+. You are definitely an honorary dietitian for jokes like that.
This segment with Dawn Jackson-Blattner is sponsored by Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating, the original healthy meal company. Dawn, real quick, I think you can answer that quickly. If I'm supposed to drink all this water all day long, does coffee and tea and lemonade count? That's mostly water, right?
Yes, it counts, except for the fact that, like, lemonade with added sugar is bad news. So if you are doing a, reduced sugar lemonade, you could count it. Coffee counts, tea counts, they all count as fluid. However, common sense will tell you, plain water is always best because, you know, even when you're having coffee, you could go too much coffee, too late in the afternoon, it disrupts sleep, it's caffeine overload, you know, so you can overdo it. Tea, same kind of thing. It's good for us. However, you can overdo it. So usually what I'll tell clients is it all counts. Don't go with anything with added sugar. And then try and limit those things to like 2 or 3 of your cups of water for the day so that you're still drinking plain water as the majority of your fluid.
What's your thought about protein drinks?
Okay, you know what? Hey, listen, it's not a whole food. So it's not like eggs or Greek yogurt or cottage cheese or chicken, turkey, fish. It's not this whole food that has all this great nutrition and all these vitamins, minerals. But you know what? They have a place that a lot of people do struggle to get enough protein. So for example, you know, somebody is like, I love oatmeal in the morning. I don't know how to get protein. Well, hey, guess what? You know what? If you make your oatmeal with that protein drink and you put some fruit on it, now that is a nice balanced meal. You're getting oats, you're getting fruit, and you're getting your sort of cheat with that protein drink. Or people love cereal. We talk about cereal a lot. You know what? Pour the protein drink over the cereal. Add some berries to it. That's a nice balanced meal. Or use protein powder where you actually could get spinach and berries and flax seeds in that shake and make it balanced. So a protein shake by itself is not a whole food, but if you're using it along with a lot of other healthy foods, it can really be a great Band-Aid. And when you're buying these drinks, like everything, just watch out for the added sugar. You know, you want ones that are on, again, that 5% or less of the added sugar, low in added sugar.
You know as much about exercise as you do nutrition, it seems. And I think you've told us in the past that if you want to lose your belly fat, doing sit-ups is not going to necessarily just burn the fat in your belly. Is that right?
That is right. You know, it would be so great if you could spot treat. That's what, you know, people say. They have problem areas. They would love to spot treat. And there's just no such thing as that. You absolutely are exercising and eating for your whole body wellness.
So what's the latest on belly fat then?
Well, the biggest thing that we know is that it's dangerous because it's so close to your organs. That's why everybody is so always up in arms about belly fat. And what's so interesting is there's a new study that came out. I love this study. It was in Nature Metabolism. It's this journal I was looking through, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so encouraging. That if you do regular exercise, and even if you don't get a six-pack from it, so you are just a regular exerciser, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even know if this is doing anything. I'm never going to get a six-pack, whatever. Well, guess what? Researchers have found that just by regular exercise, that your belly fat actually gets healthier. So even if you can't see your abs, it's no big deal. It actually is still doing something, that tissue that's close to your organs is actually getting healthier. So I think that's good news for anybody who's like, is it doing anything? It's like, yes, it is doing something. It's healthier fat.
This listener said, can you ask about this coffee thing out there that's supposed to melt belly fat?
Oh, man, if I could invent something, or if there was something out there that I could preach that actually worked, I would love it, and everybody would love it. There really is no, and I've scoured science and supplements and everything. There's really nothing that you can take as a supplement that targets belly fat as much as having the right ratios at your meals. If somebody comes to me and says, hey, listen, you know, I have a dangerously high waist circumference. This isn't actually a metabolic condition, that when women have a waist circumference of 35 or more, or men, it's 40 inches, by the way, 35 inches or more, men, 40 inches or more. We're getting nervous about your organs. And so what could I do? And the first thing we work on is meal ratios, meaning that you have a little bit of carbohydrate foods, like that could be a potato, a sweet potato, quinoa, you know, brown rice, whole grain pasta, a quarter of your plate that, not a full plate of that. And you have a quarter of your plate protein foods like chicken, turkey, fish, and then you have half your plate coming from produce. That ratio, if you did it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that you were able to have a lot of produce with some protein and just a little bit of those carbohydrate foods, your body responds very well to that type of ratio. And so that works for waist circumference. It works for blood sugar, blood pressure, HDL, good cholesterol, triglycerides, everything that we want to alter inside of our body. If we work on those meal ratios, mm-hmm. It's like it's magic.
This listener said, hey, Dawn, I'm wondering about yogurt. Some are whole fat, some are 2%, some are no fat. Which one's best? Is there good fat in yogurt?
Yes, there's actually good fat in yogurt. I tend to tell people to go in the middle of that. So like the 2%, that's considered low fat. So instead of doing absolutely no fat or the full fat, 2% is a nice middle ground. And there is something called CLA, conjugated linoleic acid, which is just fancy, that's found in milk fat, that if you are an active person, it actually can help support healthy muscle. So that little bit of milk fat is good. However, I will say, I think the biggest thing with yogurt beyond, you know, which percentage to pick is then the sneaky, sneaky added sugar that can be in there. So a lot of people say, oh, you know, I get vanilla Greek yogurt, 2%. Do you love that? I say, no, even though it seems like that's kind of plain vanilla, that still has added sugar. So you're looking for plain unsweetened. And what's so cool about that 2% level is that it's less sour than the no-fat version. So for people who are like, well, I really think yogurt is so sour, I have to put some sugar or honey or something in it to love it, a lot of times when they go from that no-fat up into the 2%, they find it less sour and they need less of a sweetener to, you know, enjoy it. So anyway, smashed berries in a 2% plain Greek yogurt is delicious.
This listener says, I take a B-complex supplement. It makes my pee bright yellow for a good portion of the day. I drink plenty of water. Is this okay?
Yes, B vitamins are notorious for tinting your pee very sort of like neon yellow. And so that's, it's very common, it's very normal. The biggest thing with Bs for a lot of people when they're taking B vitamins is to try and take it early in the day, because some people actually feel a little energized by taking B vitamins. So not taking them too close to bed is a great recommendation. And then, of course, you know, like this listener is already doing, drinking plenty of water. And B vitamins tend to be a little bit less of a drama of a supplement because they are water soluble. So that means if you are sort of overdoing it, at least you're peeing it out and it's not causing, you know, damage. So anyway, pretty safe supplement for most people. And tinted pee.
That's about a half a minute left here, Dawn. Yeah. It says, what should I eat or avoid for arthritis? Is there a diet that's arthritis friendly, Dawn?
Yeah, so arthritis falls into this category of anti-inflammatory diet.
Right.
And so basically, I mean, most of us need to be on an anti-inflammatory diet, whether our condition is, you know, blood work that we've gotten back or actual pain in our joints like arthritis. And it is the same advice that we talk about all the time. It's heavy, heavy, heavy on the plants, lots of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, seeds, beans, legumes, easy on the meats. But still the protein is there, and then a little bit of the carbs. So that that ratio on the plate that we talked about before is also the foundation of an anti-inflammatory diet.
Ding, ding, ding. That means time's up.
Oh, I love it. Perfect timing. Look at that.
All right, Dawn, thank you for your time and thoughts today. We always appreciate you joining us, and I sure hope you can join us next week.
Yep, I'll be there. Thanks so much. Have a great week.
She's always at DawnJacksonBlattner.com. And on Instagram, you're following her at DJ Blattner.